The Youth's Instructor, May 9, 1901. Sowing and Reaping. The Youth's Instructor, May 9, 1901. Sowing and Reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The choice we make in this life will be our choice through all eternity. We shall receive either eternal life or eternal death. There is no middle ground, no second probation. God calls upon us to overcome as Christ overcame, that we may sit down with the Savior in His throne. He has provided us with abundant opportunities and privileges, making it possible for us to overcome. But in order to do this, there must be in our lives no petting of self. All selfishness must be cut out by the roots. When a man accepts Christ, he promises to represent Him in this world. To him the words are spoken, "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Those engaged in the work of character building should educate themselves to acknowledge the workmanship of God. Have faith that you can use every entrusted capability to God's glory. He has not given us talents to hide away in a napkin. We are to impart as we receive. Thus we are sowing seed which will bring forth a harvest of joy. When God gives many talents to one person, it is not that he shall exalt himself, as if he had not received these talents from God. He who depends on his own merits, placing great confidence in his knowledge and judgment, is not accepted by God. Only the faith that works by love and purifies the soul is acceptable to Him. No amount of profession can take the place of honesty and fidelity. Fraud in any line is a grievous sin in God's sight, for the goods we are handling belong to Him. And if we would be pure and clean in His sight, we must use them to the glory of His name. The religion that carries in its hand the scant measure and the deceitful balance is an abomination in the sight of God. He who cherishes such a religion will be brought to confusion, for God is a jealous God. God's law is the standard of character. To it we are required to conform, and by it we shall be judged in the last great day. In that day, men will be dealt with according to the light they have received. The number of talents entrusted will determine the returns expected. The sinner's guilt will be measured by the opportunities and privileges which he failed to improve. He will not be punished merely for his own rejection of the offer of salvation. He will be called to account for the influence he has exerted in encouraging others in sin. He was given ability to use for the Lord. He was given opportunity to cooperate with the Redeemer. Had he been true and faithful, he would not only have won eternal life for himself, but would have drawn others to the kingdom. Those who reject Christ place themselves on the side of the great apostate. Those who do not accept the offer of salvation show open contempt for the Savior, and their conduct makes others more bold and defiant. The punishment of the sinner will be measured by the extent to which he has influenced others in impenitence. He refused to wear the yoke of restraint and obedience, to surrender all to God, and thus he placed himself on the side of the enemy of Christ. His refusal to wear the yoke of Christ himself kept others from seeing their wrong.